Sponsored by Louisiana Office of Tourism.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Well, we have just a few things to get into today. Your New Orleans Saints going to be playing for a shot to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. You'll hear from the locker room, of course, after the game. We'll go over the game. There's so much to get into. It's unbelievable. And yes, you probably shouldn't be shocked. As you know, the Saints taking the approach perhaps that they're underdogs or not. You see Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram yesterday.
You guys look at yourselves as the underdogs heading into the championship game?
Man, both teams is great, man. The Rams, we had a shootout last time. We just focusing on what we got to do to have a great game plan and prepare and get ready for them boys.
It is. We got plenty to get into. You should know the number by now, 800-998-1003. Join the intern wearing his Alvin Kamara jersey as he is representing. He's super excited and pumped. We'll get his reactions as well from being in the dome yesterday. Look, it's real simple. I want it to be very, very fan-filled today when it comes to the show because it was a heck of a game. We kind of thought some of the things, at least I thought during the week that we were going to see, actually turned out to be the case. We'll get into that and more. Plus, of course, a warning. It's Monday. We just got it past the noon hour. I'm going to give you the warning. It was the same warning we had last week, Jordan, as to what the storylines are. And it's okay. See, if you know what's coming, you're not going to get upset. Yes, the Saints play the Rams, but this week's about the Chiefs and Pats. It's about Tom Brady, right?
The gumbo.
And then all week you're going to hear nothing but Sean McVay, greatest coach of all time. Forget Bill Walsh. No one has ever done offense like Sean McVay in the NFL. Now they're ground and pound. I'm going to play it. You'll hear it. It started yesterday. Lewis Riddick and everything. I'm just warning you. Okay? And that's fine. That's why I led off with that bite. I could have led off with a highlight. I could have led off with a lot of different things. I led off with Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram for a reason. The Saints are going to take that approach, and I'm okay with it. Because that's what's going to happen. Right? So, just warning. Just letting you know. Just letting you know how it's going to be this week. Sean McVay, better offensive mind than Sean Payton. It's Goff and the rest of the Rams. They're going to ground and pound. They also are going to want revenge like the Eagles. Just know what's coming, and then you'll be okay. Just know that most of the first take around the horn and all that will be Chiefs and Patriots. It'll be about Brady's eighth straight, which is actually remarkable, AFC straight start of the championship game. And I get that. So that's fine. That's fine. It's just a fair warning. So we have Chris Hagan from Fox 8 coming in at 12:30. He was in Philly all last week, and I wanted him on of all the people that actually watched the game and covered it yesterday because he had that nice perspective, obviously, of being in the Philadelphia locker room, being to their press conferences and everything all week in Philly. Had an understanding and kind of knew what we were going to see. We said last week this was going to be a different game. We thought it was going to be closer. Jordan the intern, I'm Gustradamus. I told you even Friday on the show, wouldn't be surprised, and I told you Sunday. So you were driving to the game. Wouldn't be surprised if they lead after one. They may even lead at halftime. Saints wind up winning it in the fourth. Did I not tell you that?
I said that also.
But you didn't say nothing.
Yes, I said that nothing. The Eagles would leave at half.
That's not the case. Anyway, so Chris Hagan, 12:30, and Marlon Favorite, his normal Monday, wants to chime in, slot at 2:15. Todd Graffanini may stop by. He wants to give his chats and take as well because he had to wait till after his basketball game he called to watch the show, to watch the game. So I got streams of text messages around 9 o'clock at night as he was watching the game for the very first time. And John Forcade has made his way over here in studio in Metairie to chat and give his take. How's the neck? You got a neck brace going on.
I had neck surgery 2 weeks ago today.
Okay.
You know, and
which one is this? Number 21 or 22?
Number 20 on the nose.
Number
right
20.
Now.
There
I
it
got,
is.
I got a couple left, but I'll get the carpal tunnel done on my right hand
okay,
in a couple
21.
In a couple of weeks, and then my right knee, and I'm done.
22. So we're gonna stop at 22?
I hope so. I'm tired of tired of being put under, but at least I get some sleep. But look, yeah. Hey, I know he's got it. George's got his 41 jersey on over here. But they cost me money yesterday.
Oh, that's all that matters.
Minus 8.5.
You should have listened to the show. We told you. Raphael said Saints win, but they don't cover.
All I know is this. That was some bad play calling yesterday by Sean Payton.
Okay.
I know you came on in, Shane McVay, and McVay's the greatest guy. But there was some play calling. They were rushing. They were doing a lot of things. I was like, come on, this ain't the New Orleans Saints. But we'll get in there as the show goes on. He's going to make a 50-yard field goal. It was a 52-yarder. But if they don't lose the 4 or 5 yards, he makes the 48-yarder. I know it. I know the kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do it. But does he not know that people like me sit at home with a neck brace on?
There it is.
Got a chance to win all my bets on my teasers, my parlays, all my trickery stuff here. And it cost me. But,
yeah.
You know, but we won the game. We won the game.
Okay, well, I can understand exactly how that goes about it more than anything else. But we'll have plenty to get into as Todd Graffanini is joined into it here as well. Let's just kind of get things started. It's 800-998-1003 as we will talk about what's going on with what you saw in the locker room more than anything else here as well. Because I think one of the things that you saw was a team that came to play absolutely with Philly. And the Saints having to battle, and I don't know. I mean, I don't think you could say it anything worse than this, or just more accurately, it was the worst first quarter I've ever seen the Saints actually play or be able to go in there. It was actually fortunate they were only down 14-0 in that first quarter, John. When you take a look at how that game started, the first play of the game. You know, it's like the onside kick in the Super Bowl. It worked, so it's the greatest call ever by Sean Payton, right? If it doesn't, the Colts have the ball right there. Ted Ginn had steps on the defensive back. Drew Brees throws that ball a few seconds early. That is a walk-in touchdown. It's 7-0 before people have sat down and sipped the dome foam, eaten a nacho. The Eagles are going, oh no, here we go again, and the dome is going bananas. Instead, it's a pick, John. It gives them a shot of adrenaline and confidence. They go right down the field, score a touchdown. Now you're in a fight.
You know, before I was able to put my neck brace on, I could be celebrating them up 7-0. but I couldn't. And but if you look at that play, you know, it took him a while to realize he was going to throw that ball. It wasn't right off the bat he was throwing that football because he was actually – it was almost his second or third read. And we could go on and on and on about you know, his weak arm strength right now because when he had a chance to throw the ball to Hill later in the game, throw it down the middle for another touchdown, he didn't throw it. But, look, you made a comment saying, man, we were down 14-0. Well, the way the season went, the only game you can actually pick on and say something would have to be the Cowboys game, how poorly played the Saints did in the first half or the first quarter. Because other than that, they were, you know, when they went to the 8-game winning streak, none of that stuff affected him or the New Orleans Saints. So it was a game situation where I think it kind of played into the part was, you know as well as I do, Gus and anybody else listening out there, when you got 60 minutes of football in the first, you know, 7 minutes of a football game, you're down 14-0. You're still in it. I mean, there's so much football to be played, and that's what the Saints didn't do was panic. And that goes to show you Deshaun Payton's or Drew Brees. 14-0 in the NFL against the New Orleans Saints. Come on. That, you know. Now, if you'd have been what happened in the earlier game, 35-7 at halftime, the Chargers were gelling up them Jets and trying to get back to L.A. as quick as they can.
Now, that surprised me to begin with, going into it and getting down that way. And you had that nervous energy and feeling for a bit. We're going to go into the sound here in a little bit as to what the players felt like. They didn't feel like the game was going to get away from them or anything of that nature. So that said, the Graf decided he needed to come in here today and give his take. Wearing the Saints shirts and apparently growing a playoff beard now.
I am.
It looks like that's what he slept with, or he's been like in there for 2 days maybe. Mm-hmm. Or
started after the Carolina game, John. Mm-hmm. So
Carolina game? First one?
the game that I got angry about, and I shouldn't have gotten angry about it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, wow! All I can say is, if I would have watched that game live, I would have had a stroke. That's
wait. You mean to tell me? I know you said you didn't watch it, but that takes, you know, big one of these things. I'm using my hands and you know, good coconuts for you to sit there and wait till you got home to put the game.
I don't know how
one of my hidden talents, John.
Wait, nobody.
One of my hidden talents.
You didn't have any clue.
No.
Well, that takes it right there.
Here's the thing. He had to shut everything down because he was calling a basketball game.
Right.
And as I know.
No Twitter. My phone was off.
Problem is that we have to use our stats.
Right.
We have to use our laptop as stats.
And you get text messages on your computer.
Or somebody walking by and make a comment.
Well,
at the game.
I made it explicitly clear, believe me, if anybody knows me. To anyone within shouting distance, that if you told me what was going on during the game, I was going to punch you. So, because, John, I mean, look, I know myself. Anybody who knows me. If I would have known what was going on in the game, it would have affected my broadcast.
You couldn't have called
the game. And I can't. If I'd have known it was 14-0 in the first quarter, I would have just shut down.
So I have
a job to do, and I had to do.
If we would have been texting you, Breeze's fumbling snaps,
I would have absolutely just
back to back.
Andres Pete, by the way, just got called for another.
I wanted to put him in a headlock at about 10:30 last night.
And I'll say this: we'll go into it. 800-998-1003. Please join in the conversation. This is why I wanted. It's a very free show because I want to get your takes and feelings. As Todd said, as we bring in Jack into the conversation, 800-998-1003. You said it yesterday to me, and you tweeted this morning. Second time in your lifetime, what this week?
It's NFC Championship week, and we're hosting it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
it doesn't happen.
It's heady times, man. I'm 49 years old. This is the second time in my life we're hosting a championship game.
Exactly right.
There's nothing better.
Jack, what you got for us today, bud?
How you doing, man?
Doing well.
Did you not notice how frustrating it was? How many times the team Drew Brees didn't get the team out of the huddle and to the line, and he wasn't able to make pre-snap adjustments. He was rushed, and he either made a bad throw or there was a play for a loss, and it happened right before the field goal that we missed, and we lost yards on that as well.
I'm going to go back, not just the Drew Brees, but other games as well. It is getting to the point right now. Remember when you know who started all this? Peyton Manning's of the years past. They're getting a little bit too ridiculous with all this. Because, look, a lot of that's dummy fake stuff. And, you know, like Ray Lewis always said, when he got down to 5 seconds left for the game, he yelled to his defense, get in our defense. I mean, to the time clock, get ready to play. Mm-hmm. And that's what's affected us here, the Saints. They're trying to do too much trickery or whatever. Line up, point to you one. I understand they want to snap the ball with less than 5 seconds. But, boy, that's getting to the point where it could have affected him yesterday because Eagles called a timeout with 2 seconds left, and the Saints were nowhere ready to snap that football. And it's getting to a point right now. They got to start getting out of that huddle and getting a snap,
Jack,
within 10 seconds.
I think one of the other things, too, is you talk about pace and you talk about just rhythm and things of that nature. In the offense, you saw it at its best in the 18-play forever drive that won the game. It's the greatest. I mean, literally, it's a postseason record-setting drive, and it's the greatest drive in franchise history if you think about it. For it to happen, because it was really, 22, 23 plays, 18 that counted when you add the penalties in there. The point is, though, Jack, they struggled to get that rhythm. And, look, you credit what Philly was doing, and we'll go into it and more than anything else. When teams make adjustments and you sort of see it, first off, you got to give credit to the Philly D-line. I mean, they were owning the Saints offensive line certain times, creating a lot of pressure. I mean, you know, Mr. Cox over there, Fletcher Cox, played his butt off through an injury, would take a couple of series or plays off, then come in and just immediately get pressure or sack Drew Brees. I mean, they played outstanding. They're cornerbacks. They got torched in the first meeting, Jack. I mean, they're making diving PBUs with one hand. You know, I can see Todd shaking his head. It's one of those where they had games that they played as good as they got. They played up to the most of their ability with who the players that they had out there.
Well, you know, Todd, you see in football games and maybe in basketball game, but they got wore out. You know,
and
when it got to the second half, but that's why you play 60 minutes of football. They got wore down. Some of the injuries affected. Some of the young guys went in or whatever it may be. The rotation wasn't there. But when you start getting wore down as a defensive unit against the New Orleans Saints, that's an issue.
And John, along those lines, that's why you play the season. That's why you have to bust your hump to get the 1 or 2 seed and get the bye week. If you don't think that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did every single home team win Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
I think they did. You know, when I was watching the game last night, I was thinking to myself, it is so good to be playing in a Super Bowl because it could be a little bit. I'm going to talk. Noise made a difference yesterday. It absolutely does. And, you know, does that ball go through Alshon Jeffrey's hands in Philadelphia?
No doubt. Well, like I said, here's Alvin Kamara's
We said he was going to work down.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
The most technology-advanced and luxurious truck ever is the 2019 Ram 1500 SLT Crew 4x2. You can test drive one now until the end of January at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. So affordable with over $13,000 off MSRP at the Start Something New sales event at Southland Dodge in Houma. WAC excludes TT&L. Chrysler Capital Incentive must finance through Chrysler Capital. Non-prime bonus for a 620 or below Beacon score. Price is good on listed stock numbers only and good through 131.19. It's Mardi Gras time, and Joe's Septic Contractors would like to let everyone know that there is still time to call in your orders for portable toilets and hand wash stations. You can order 2, 3, 6, 10, and 18 stall restroom trailers from everyone at Joe's Septic Contractors. Have a happy and safe Mardi Gras. Call 985-632-5592 or visit joesseptic.com.
No way. T-Bob here, and when my heating and cooling system needs repair, you know I call the experts at River City's Total Maintenance. They're fast, they're professional, and they'll come out the same day you call. That's right, the same day, and they're going to get the job done right. You couple that with 2 and 3 year warranties and a 100% money back guarantee, and as you can see, you cannot go wrong, my friends. So if you need same day service on your heating and cooling systems, call River City's Total Maintenance at 504-841-3300. That's 841-3300, and tell them T-Bob sent you.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline. In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know what we wanted to do. That's what we said we was going to do, and we did what we said we was going to do. We said we was going to wear them down, and, you know, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You can go watch it. What he said.
That's Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, who did the post-game interview in a ski mask. And in case you want to know why the ski masks, here you go.
All right, man. So, man, we've been on the ski mask tip. Hey, yo, that's his sack dance celebration for years. You know, so when he got hurt last year, we all started doing the ski mask. And then Mike T ran out with the ski mask. When we played the Eagles, he ran out the tunnel with the ski mask on. And them boys got a ski mask on the next week. So, you know, it ain't, it's just a little something.
It's
but
a copycat league.
Yeah. Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah. There is no love lost between the Saints and the Eagles. Gus Kattengill, John 4K, Ty Graffinini in studio. Your phone call is 800-998-1003. Chris Hagan from Fox 8. He was in Philly all last week, so I wanted to get him on. Because, you know, he was there covering the team, and he probably got a sense and feel of what I thought, guys. As y'all know, listening to the show, and you and I talk off the air, Todd, I thought this was going to be a battle. So as we take a look at this game here, I wasn't surprised that it didn't start out the way it did. That said, Drew Brees hits Ted Ginn just a few yards further, or he throws it a little bit sooner, and that ball's ahead of him. It's 7-0. Dome's going nuts. The Eagles are probably going, oh, no. Instead, it's an interception, and the guy made a great play, great interception, and they get a shot of adrenaline, come right down and score. Now you're in a dogfight.
Yeah. No, look, Philly came to play. There's no question about it. They've been pointing to it basically since we whooped their butts 48-7. They said it was a galvanizing point in their season. And, look, give them credit. After watching the game, I think, you know, well, they're the world champs.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have a lot of respect for that team. But, the better team ultimately won. And I think if you're a Saints fan, and we all are here, I would presume, if we're listening to the show out there, but like you said, you cannot play a worse first quarter. And to have all of that go against you, to have the 11 penalties go against you. By the way, Taysom Hill threw the best ball of the day. That got called back. To have all that go against you and still win the game, you said it all last week. We're finding ways to win games. That's what champions do. And buckle up, baby, because Saints-Rams on Sunday at 2:05, wow. That's all I can say. Wow.
James, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. You're on with Gus, Graf, and John. What you got, bud?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Mm-hmm. Hey, I just wanted to say who that. And, you know, it feels good to be on top this week. But if you remember last year, Alshon Jeffrey, this year Alshon Jeffrey was our Marcus Williams last year. The very next game, the Vikings went and got trounced. So let's stay focused and let's not get
fighting. Who that? There he is, James. Who that as well?
I don't know if you watched the Rams Cowboys the other night, John, and I don't know how you could not be focused from what the Rams are going to bring to the table, because that was a beatdown. I don't care what the score was.
Yeah, you know, I was impressed with them, and mostly the fact that, you know, when the season started, when the Saints played the Rams early in the year, everybody was going and talking about their Rams defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Wade Phillips, all the names that they have on the defense side of the ball. Well, they haven't really gelled with their defense. They brought something to the table the other night. Now, bringing the running game that they had with Gurley and Anderson. Now, here's something that, you know, I had to put up with listening to people the last couple of days. You know, how y'all going to stop that running attack? And I'm like, wait a second, hold up. When's the last time Goff threw a touchdown?
Well, it's interesting you say that.
The last time he threw a touchdown pass.
What is the flavor of the NFL right now, right? It's anything that Sean McVay touches. I mean, people are literally joking this past weekend that if you just know, or you're across the street having coffee from him in Hollywood Hills, that they'll hire you, right? I mean, everyone wants to go find this guy that almost like they cloned. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, you got to have the short gelled hair, got to be young.
You the fake beard.
You got to have all of that. Here's the thing, though. I'll give him credit on this. It was Todd knows this because he loves listening to Atlanta radio. We love to hate the Falcons, right? No one hates the Falcons more than this guy right here. I've said it, and we've said it for the last three seasons. When they went to the Super Bowl and should have won the Super Bowl, it wasn't Julio Jones in the passing game. It was the double running back attack that they had. It was tough for teams to guard against. What do you do from the linebacking standpoint? They can toss, hand off to both backs, and they can score a touchdown. They can dump it to them. You can do wheel routes. You can throw it over the middle. You can do all those things. What did Sean Payton do the year after? Drafted Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. What did you see the Saints all of a sudden become a bigger offensive weapon because of Alvin and Mark? And you saw it yesterday. Ingram had a big run. Kamara had a big run, but a couple of times using both of those backs. I got nervous watching that game. Like, uh-oh, did McVay mature and say, you know what? You just said it. Jared Goff, I'm taking the ball almost out of your hands to an extent, to a point, and I'm going to put it on our guys to run the football, and now you got Gurley that can catch it. It's not 100% healthy. We're going to give him, you know, Biscuit Boy, as Booger McFarland was calling him.
You saw the size of Anderson.
Yeah, right. But that's my thing. If both of those guys can get going, all of a sudden, that quarterback – doesn't feel the pressure to have to win it. That was very smart on Sean McVay's part.
You want a stat? Wrap this around your head. Mm-hmm. Those games on Saturday, Kansas City, you saw what they did. Rams at night, neither Pat Mahomes nor Jared Goff threw a touchdown pass in those games.
Think about that,
and
what you just said.
They both kicked butt.
Think about what
neither
you just said.
Neither QB threw mm-hmm. a touchdown pass in a divisional round playoff game in the year 2019. It's not possible.
Well, you know,
and both of those offenses are known for doing
yes.
Well.
Throwing the ball, but you got to also remember too. Now, look, you know, the Colts team wasn't a very good team that day, okay. And I think KC could have lined up and just ran it down their throats and did what they had to do. You're going to have games like that. But my question is this: is the Rams go 5 weeks without throwing a touchdown pass?
Yeah. But you know, and again, they had a lot of
games,
losses, right?
But you got 5 weeks at your quarterback. So what happens when the Saints shut down the run?
Well,
Oh, my God. We got to depend on
I already started this with joining the intern here. It's like, all they have to do is stop the run. I'm like, yeah, all they have to do is do that.
Right.
The Cowboys have a pretty good defensive front. Cowboys have some pretty good linebackers. And they almost got run on for 300 yards. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that's one game that's neither here or there. I mean, the Saints had a streak last year where they were putting up 200. So is that what they try to do? I don't know. To me, that's going to be the interesting element of this game on Sunday. Both teams, because you can look at that first half. I don't. I see the start of that fourth quarter. I see when they tied the game. That's what I thought the game was going to be like. And let's not forget, Ingram fumbled the ball when it was a tennis match in that first half. Saints scored, they scored. Saints scored, they scored. Ingram fumbles. They go for it rather than kick a field goal. They could have been up three, Saints down. Mm-hmm. Instead, Saints score after the Ingram fumble. So that's sort of led to that big halftime lead. They came right on back with all the noise in the dome, with all of that. And Saints had to make a play in the fourth, that Thomas touchdown, to give that separation. Now it was 3 points, you know? So this is going to be, so what adjustments do you do? Do you try to attack them the same? Do you try to establish the run? What did it, you know, what did the Rams do? How do they try to stop the Saints? They know that the passing game is like that. It'll be very interesting to see the adjustments that you make. Can you overthink it, John?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say the Saints have to do something out of the ordinary. They know what's at hand. Look, the Rams go through McVay and throwing the football. Yes, they are running the football. Pretty good defense. But let's be honest here. Who's played the best defense in the NFL in the last month and a half? New Orleans Saints. And you still got Drew Brees. If you can only throw the ball 30 yards and under, that's mm-hmm. great. But you still got to stop Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I'm still, you know, liking what I see with the Saints. Somehow, some way, they got to light a fire and get it started early, not late.
Look, and Dallas is, I mean, excuse me, the Rams are still giving up 5 yards a pop
yes.
on the ground. So Dallas did not take advantage of that. I thought Jason Garrett had a horrible game, you know, trying to run the Dallas offense. Well, you know what? That's a them problem. That's a them problem. See you, Dallas.
See, I thought you were going to reference Terrell Owens this morning on Twitter calling for his job. It's unbelievable, right?
Look,
a couple of weeks ago, they were going to go to – they could beat the Saints. And literally, it's amazing. When they win, they can win it all. When they lose, it's fire everybody.
It's amazing how – I don't even want to talk about Dallas. I don't even want to talk about it. And I know you're going to talk about the Rams ad nauseum as the week goes on, but – you know, you kind of hinted on it during the week last week. I just think we got to get Ingram and Kamara going in this game because the Rams are vulnerable to the run. Mm-hmm. Dallas just didn't take advantage of it.
And look, I think to the point, and again, it's the stat that Todd just said during the segment, 800-998-1003. It's hard to believe that Pat Mahomes and Jared Goff didn't throw a TD pass and won. So it is. It's look, at the end of the day, no matter how the offense in the NFL's changed in Cliff Kingsbury this past week, saying it's more college-like, you and I have discussions on our Thursday night shows. I'm like, dude, everyone's in the gun. At the end of the day, Todd, defense, and if you can run the football, you're going to win. I mean, that is a tried and true thing in the postseason and to win the Super Bowl. Teams that can run and teams that can come up with the stop or turnover win the Lombardi.
Well, they can say all they want to say, but the eight teams that was playing this past weekend, eight of the eight quarterbacks are drop back throw and mm-hmm. win football games here. One of them, Dak Prescott, is not really a runner, but he can scramble a little bit mm-hmm. and do some things. But give me the drop. Just going to college football, how did it work for Chip Kelly when he was in Philadelphia? It didn't work very well.
Hey, look, I know defense wins championships, but there are four teams left and the top four scoring teams in the NFL.
I'm a debate show.
Still in the tournament. Still in the tournament.
I say defense offense wins championships.
Sometimes
defense
wins championships.
Here's what I say. Defense,
how's that?
All right, offense wins championships. Defense keeps you in the game. Yeah,
I'll take my chances if you know teams are scoring 14 points.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
How about that?
Yeah,
Trent, thanks for giving us a call here. 800-998-1003. What you got?
Hey, good morning, guys. I think that we need to take a page from Bill Belichick. I watched the game Saturday. He's just like long, methodical plays, short passing, quick runs. And, you know, just give your defense some help out there and keep them off the field, keep their offense off the field.
Again, and I think that's probably part of the reasons, too. And, again, I think I kind of referenced it with what McVay did. Andy Reid, too, right? I mean, Andy Reid's biggest nemesis has been not winning in Kansas City in the postseason game. They've had teams where they've won 9 in a row and 11 in a row, and they get bounced in that first game. I thought it was smart, to your point. Mahomes, do what you do, but we're going to try to win it other ways. Some of their big touchdowns came on big runs. And to your point, you know, we're looking at it with McVay to do that. But it's sort of like what you saw with the Saints defense do yesterday. They made their adjustments. Cam Jordan said, look, they didn't do anything. They just started doing the little things that took out of it. You saw the Eagles' game plan was simple. They were going to nickel and dime you. They were going to do screens. They were going to do short passes. And then you'll do a 50-50 ball and hope that your guy can come down with it. I mean, that's what they tried to do.
Well, my take on when you made the comment about players, you know, look, the Rams and the Chiefs, they're throwing the football. They're not trying to throw the ball and not score touchdowns. It's right. Just that they didn't score touchdowns. It's, you know, they're throwing the football. It'd be different if they came out and threw 12 passes, but they didn't. They're throwing in the 20s and the 30s, just didn't cross the goal line. And when you look at the way the Saints played this game against the Eagles, you know, it's like everything else nowadays. When will a penalty jump up and bite somebody in the butt? The right. I mean, these penalties are coming. And look, and it's not, I go back and forth with people. I say, wait a second. You only complain about when the Saints get penalties against them. Well, you don't complain about if a penalty goes against the opposing team because, you know, they're, well, it's New Orleans. Come on, people. You know, they can throw holding and Todd, you know, they can throw holding on every play. You know as well as I do, Gus. We've seen it and penalty, but you can't hope that you're going to get a penalty on a play. It'll happen, and they got to revise that and relook at that. But look, you're right. The Eagles said, we're going to come in here and nickel and dime down the field. Keep who off the field?
Drew Brees.
The short passing game is like a long extension of the running game.
Yeah, again, this is why, to Todd's point here as we go to break, as Cam Jordan tells us, what did they change defensively after the first?
Not at all. If anything, you just take a breath and realize that, you know, we have to believe in our game plan. We have to tighten up and do exactly what our game plan details. It's the details that are, you know, going to change this game. It's a game of inches. And we focus on us at the end of the day. When we focus on us, when we play our defense, we play the best of our abilities, I don't think we can be touched.
14 points in the first quarter, 0 in the second, 0 in the third, 0 in the fourth. Unreal, but probably shouldn't be surprised. This is what this team's done. They've had games late in the year where teams didn't score in the second half. They held the Steelers to 7 in a game that was very much like a playoff game. John 4K, Todd Graffanini, Gus Cattingell with you. Chris Hagan from Fox 8 Sports joins us next. He followed the Eagles all week in Philly. Kind of want to get his touch and feel. Did he kind of expect a tough battle considering that he covered the team over there? And will he go to L.A.? I'll ask him, too. That's one of those. I got it. No problem. Just send me out there. I'll volunteer. Sports Hangover continues next. Don't forget, Hour 1 is always brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King. 504-909-KING. And check them out online at kinginjuryfirm.com. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans.
Here in South Louisiana, traditions matter. Whether it's community festivals or Sunday afternoon family gatherings, we value these regular occurrences as part of our fabric of life. At SL Bank, we're built on the traditions of true community banking, relationship-based, service-driven banking that embraces your financial goals as much as you do. Come see us today. SL Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender in La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online, oldsaint.com.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix, power over pests.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Sign up for the South LaFouche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp Saturday, January 19th, hosted by head coach Andrew Revalier, assistant coaches Chandler Guidraz, Corey Helmer, and Brian Shassaw, and assisted by the South LaFouche Tarpon Baseball Team. Open to ages 5 through 14, that's South LaFouche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp January 19th from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the La Rose Regional Park. Registration begins at 8 a.m., $60 per player. Bring your glove, bat, cleats, and hat. For more information, contact Coach Revalier at sltarpinbaseball@gmail.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Josh Kazetstein on the Tom Speaking to NOLA.com tweeted 3 hours ago, January 14, 2018, Saints fall behind early, but storm back to take the lead in the second half, then a whiff and devastation. January 13, 2019, Saints fall behind early, but storm back to take the lead in the second half, then a pick and elation. Good job there, Josh, because it's true. I mean, think about it. Defense made a play. Me and the Reaper, Todd Graffanini, as you're in here with John Forcade for the first hour, said, you know, he's worried about, I'm like, look, having to depend on Turner's, I'm like, but the defense has done that all season. So at what point is it a calling card? It's not a fluke. That's what they do. They make big plays.
It's nice to make plays, isn't it? It's nice to make plays where, you know, you go back in our past and those plays were being made against us. And now we're making the plays. So it is what it is. We're the number one seed. We're hosting because of all of this. So just sit back and enjoy it and get ready.
At Chris Hagan TV is the way to follow Chris over on Twitter. He's over with Fox 8, and he was in Philadelphia. You got there when we were leaving. I was early in Philadelphia doing a basketball game, and you were there to cover the team for the week. Loved seeing the pictures and all the food that you were eating there as well. But, I wasn't surprised. I said when I came back on Wednesday, the doorman was giving me Fly Eagles Fly. Papa Giorgio from Giorgio's Own Pine was telling me, you know, he was giving me insight on their D-line versus RO line, who's healthy. So they were tuned in and locked in. They had belief and reasons. They knew it was going to be a fight.
Oh, 100%, man. I mean, I talked to this Philly team in the locker room for a couple of days, and they truly believed that this was a different team, and they came out and played like it. They played like they had the swagger and confidence of a team that had won four straight, had won their last three games away from home, had a much healthier team, and they came out and took it to the Saints early. And I wish I would have tweeted it, because now it just sounds like revisionist history. But I told a group chat of my friends, I think it's going to be a really close game, but the Saints' saving grace is going to be that Philadelphia secondary. And sure enough, they had no answer for Michael Thomas, and it turned out to be a huge part of the game.
You know, it's incredible, guys, as we take a look at it. And Michael Thomas, again, just sets records left and right when he goes into it. It's also that trust factor. And, again, it's about matchups, John. You talk about it all the time. The touchdown he caught, Chris, I mean, Breece couldn't have put it in a better play. He was covered. I mean, he had his left arm over Michael Thomas's chest, and Thomas caught it on his right shoulder pad. But that just goes to show you that's, you know, our guy is better than your guy thing that Drew Breece always says. And he said it after the game yesterday.
Yeah, his range is unbelievable. The fact that he's added routes to his route tree every year, he's become a total package at receiver, and it's off hard work. I have the debate with people quite a bit, actually. You know, where does he rank among wide receivers? And is he the most athletic? No, I mean, there's freaks out there like Julio Jones and Odell Beckham Jr., but the work that Michael Thomas puts in, he outworks so many people. When you look at his offseason, and if you follow him on, you know, any social media or Instagram, I mean, the workouts are incredible. His diet, spot on. He takes everything so seriously. It's a very Drew Brees-like mentality, the way he approaches practice and the games. And like Drew said, you know, it's no surprise to see him perform like he does, because that's what he does in practice. I mean, I think back to training camp, and I mean, I remember there was one rep where Marshawn Lattimore complained a little bit because it was a walkthrough period, and Michael Thomas is putting his foot in the ground and running these routes like it's a divisional round playoff game. But that's the way he approaches everything, and that's what makes him so good.
Hey, Chris, John Forcade here. You know, early this week, you know, I was on another station talking in regards with a TV show, and they were asking me about what I thought of the game. And I said, first and foremost, we got to find another receiver to step up. You know, we got the Michael Thomas. I thought Philadelphia would go in this ball game and try to double team him. And I said, Ted Ginn will have to step up. Well, I didn't realize it would be the first play of the game. They were going to shoot Ted Ginn in the middle of the field. But I thought other receivers stepped up. Now, in this game, what I'm getting to is that why didn't the Eagles do a little bit more of man-to-man or over the top, maybe a zone underneath and pick him up over the top or vice versa? Because they look like in this game they played a soft zone and you kept seeing Michael catch the ball over the middle. Why didn't Philly make an adjustment and say, we're going to shut down Michael and let somebody else beat us?
Yeah, I mean, he found the soft spot in those zones every single time. And that was one of the biggest questions we had for Mike in the locker room after the game. Did it feel like he was doubled less? Did it feel like, you know, Philly did less against him? And he said they approached it a little bit differently, but that's the big question is why didn't Philadelphia do more to take him away like we've seen other teams try to do and make someone else make a play? Because, I mean, if you look at it, it seems like still something has been a little bit off with the offense in that regard, with Breeze timing with some of the other guys. Yes, a couple other guys did make some nice catches. Keith Kirkwood, Tre'Quan Smith had a really impressive catch as well. But the timing with Ginn on that first deep ball you mentioned, I mean, it seemed off. It didn't even seem like Drew Brees, you know, thought about going there initially. And so, if I were the Eagles, I definitely would have made someone else hurt me than Michael Thomas. And it certainly, you know, after halftime, I would have made that adjustment.
Nick Underhill tweeting, MRI confirms Rankin's tore his Achilles, per a source who will have surgery this week. That's a big blow. You did start seeing some pressure eventually, though, even after Rankin's left, Chris, and that's going to be key. Onyemata had a nice stretch. We had a couple of sacks in a couple of games in a row. Davenport's going to obviously get more time on there. Okafor, you saw Cam Jordan. Probably the biggest play he had was the pass back down, mm-hmm. right, on the third down. So when you look at this matchup now coming up on Sunday, I want two things from you. What do you remember from that first meeting, and what do you think will be the biggest difference between the rematch here on Sunday?
Well, what I remember from that first meeting is the Saints able to get after Goff a little bit, get some pressure on him, maybe make him get the ball out a little bit quicker. You know, Peyton took the question today on his conference call, you know, how does L.A. look different? Are they more of a running team now with the addition of C.J. Anderson and what we saw him do against the Cowboys the other night? But as Peyton put it, they've always been a running team that everything they do is predicated on their success with Todd Gurley and setting up the play action and then setting up the drop back pass. And I think with the addition of C.J. Anderson, the biggest difference this time around is what they're going to try and do and really get downhill running on you like they did the Cowboys, especially when you look at what Dallas is been able to do and the run defense they played, what they did to the Saints, what they've done to other teams. That's significant, how that Rams offensive line is playing. And so the recipe is always for a defense to take away the run, and I think that was a huge difference yesterday. And once Wendell Smallwood didn't have those, you know, 4, 5, 6 yard carries on first down, second down, and the Saints were able to get Nick Foles in some third and long situations, it changed the game, and they weren't able to do anything for the remaining three quarters. That's going to be key, but it's also going to be a little bit tougher because of the way the Rams are fresh. Todd Gurley's fresh, C.J. Anderson's fresh, and I think they're going to have a bit more of a rejuvenated running game against the Saints than we saw the first time around.
At Chris Hagan TV is the way to follow Chris Hagan from Fox 8. Are you heading out to L.A.? I told Todd it's probably one of those you throw your hand up real quick in that meeting of who wants to go cover, huh?
Oh, I tried, man. I tried. Garland's actually headed out there at this point, so he'll be out there in L.A.
No problem, man. We'll keep a look at the coverage you guys got all week. Thanks for giving us a little bit of your time, man. Appreciate it.
Always glad to come on the show, man.
Yep, for sure. Devin White, by the way, declaring for the NFL draft just a little bit ago, tweeting a 2-minute, 52-second video of why he plans on doing that. Look, that's one of those things, guys. You look at it. I saw some mock drafts with top five. You have to go. I mean, know there was some things of he thinks he might want to come back and win the national championship until Saban and Bama call it quits.
Right.
You know, you got a pretty good wall. Congrats to that. I just hope, because there's been a horrible trend of some LSU backers going in the NFC South. I hope it's not the Falcons, it's not the Buccaneers, it's not the Panthers.
I saw a mock draft that had them going to the Falcons.
Yeah.
I did.
Seriously?
Deion Jones and him?
No, I can't.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Because let me tell you something. You love to hate Atlanta. Deion Jones' injury
was massive
I know. To them this year.
Yes.
I know. No, he can.
He was a Saints. He's a Saints killer.
Stud. Yeah. He's a stud.
Yeah. Wherever the kid goes, the white kid goes. The linebacker is you know, they don't. A lot of teams don't pick that middle linebacker.
He's incredible.
That high,
he's
but
Keekly,
he's one. That, you know? Yeah. That's,
I mean, he's a guy that
great.
Just,
we need another one of those. Yeah. In our
well,
division.
But here's the thing, Thomas Davis. Right, he put a message over the
Thomas
weekend.
Davis is done.
That he's done in Carolina, right. And I've always said, look, Keekly's not a young. But, I just really hope an NFC South team doesn't go and get an LSU linebacker that happens to be pretty good as well. Todd, I asked Chris this question. I know you need a bail here as well, so I'll ask you the same question. What stood out in that game, Saints-Rams, and what do you think will be the biggest thing that will change in the rematch?
What stood out in the first game was how much fun I had being in the Dome. No, it was just back and forth. It almost
felt like the NFC Championship.
It was
game.
Almost
it was
like a who's going to have the ball last type of situation. You know, a lot of people forget about Anzalone's interception right before halftime.
Mm.
And 28-14 became 35-14. And that one score, now even though the Rams came back and kicked a field goal right before halftime, one turnover led to 7 points. And that's why you've got to play. I mean, it's pretty obvious for any football game, guys, but you've got to play mistake-free. You cannot give the Rams extra possessions. And in turn, keep doing what you're doing defensively. Get those turnovers. That leads to your possessions and hopefully points. But that one interception, in my mind, was basically the game because 35-14 is pretty tough to come back from. Now, they did, but that was a free 7 points you got right before half.
Because of that is why I think just
buckle up.
Because
buckle up.
But that said, Todd, you mentioned it. You're 40-something now?
49.
49.
Almost 50.
Second time ever you're going to spend entire week getting ready for an NFC Championship game at home. Saints fans, everyone that covers
goosebumps,
the team.
Man. Goosebumps, man.
You're going to get a chance to
see. Well, not this guy.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, very rarely do you ever get the chance, A, to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time unless you're New England, and that's why it's a ridiculous streak, right? The Eagles had 4 straight conference title game chances before they went to the Super Bowl. But to see the confetti and to know that that's it. I mean, and then you do the daydream of the Hartley, the kick for the win. I mean, they saw that, Saints fans, in 2009. Right. We were all witness to it. I hope it doesn't come down to a kick for the deciding factor, but it's very rare you get to be in your home stadium and see your team off to the Super Bowl. Second time ever in its franchise history.
And your reward for that is definitely you go to the Super Bowl in another dome stadium with the same name that you played under. And it's, guess who? It's your arch rivals stadium. So,
all right, I lied. Before we let Todd go, please. You got to give me 30 seconds as we go to on a break here. Because
I'm going on Atlanta today.
I was on Atlanta radio yesterday, and it was the first thing the guys talked to me about, how they want nothing. Because the Saints would be practicing at their facility.
Right, using their facility.
They are
the locker room. They want nothing but it. They're convinced the Saints are going to do stuff
to
their
own. This was us in 2012 when the Falcons played the 49ers that Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I was rooting for the 49ers, which I can't believe, you know, I'm saying it.
Right.
But I was rooting for the 49ers like I was rooting for one of my own children.
Yeah.
So that is the feeling in Atlanta right now.
They are
petrified.
Listen to that music,
that we
baby.
Are going to take over their crappy dome. We're coming, baby.
There he is.
Woo!
Follow Todd on Twitter at NTGraph. I know you're ready. Listen to it. Falcon up. What is it? What did they call it? Rise up.
Rise down.
Oh, no.
7-9.
Look, let me tell you something.
I beat them by 6 games. 6 games in the standings. And we tanked the last one.
There he goes, Todd Graffanini. Thank you, bud.
Who that, baby?
There he is. When we come back, I'll ask John that question. What stood out in that Rams game before you head on out? And what do you think will be the biggest difference? Hours 2 and 3, your phone calls, your tweets, and we have, I don't know, like 100 sound bites to play. Literally. So you're going to hear from Eagles, from Saints fans, from the Saints, rather, from the coaches, from everybody. So we got all of that coming up over the next 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger. With double the fresh never frozen beef and double the apple with smoked bacon, there's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Join the winning team with Polar Auto Air in Houma. They service all RVs, mobile homes, including fifth wheel, campers, refrigerators, AC units, leveling systems, accepts all extended warranties and some factory warranties. They do work on AC automobiles, specializes in the repair and services for over 30 years. They specialize as an RVIA certified tech on recreational vehicles. Polar Auto Air, North Hollywood Road in Houma, 985-876-1934.
It's time for some straight talk. I'm ready for it. You want the best coverage, right?
Of course. Don't want the QB throwing any deep bombs.
I'm talking about coverage on your smartphone, Wingo.
Oh, I get you now. I want the best nationwide coverage then.
Well, you'll get it with Straight Talk. The same great 4G LTE networks as the big guys for up to 30% less.
Man, you got to grab that deal and run with it.
Take it to the house.
With nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, get the Straight Talk $45 unlimited plan with 15 gigs of high-speed data. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Oh, hey.
Hey, did you hear? My friend's company was the victim of an email impersonation attack.
It's a serious threat to every business.
What if cybercriminals target us and trick accounting into making a wire transfer?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda.
So we're secured?
Yeah. Barracuda uses artificial intelligence to detect and block spear phishing and account takeover attempts.
What a relief.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
So again, multiple reports, including Nick Underhill, the Advocate, confirming through sources the MRI reveals a torn Achilles for Sheldon Rankins. You know, John, for the last couple of seasons, you and I have talked about it, whether we do Saints postgame shows or Thursday night shows. You were critical of Sheldon to sort of play like the draft pick that he was. This season, you couldn't be critical. And it's, man, that is just, it stinks. Sean Payton kind of touched on it and, you know, caught himself. He never likes to talk about injuries. But Payton, yesterday, he was asked, you know, about Sheldon going down.
Yeah, always, man, the season he's been having, it's, you know, gut-wrenching. He's played so well for us, and we'll see where he's at.
You know, you don't want anybody to get hurt. Mm-hmm. And the guy like this has played extremely well for him all year long. I think he has like 8 sacks. I might be off a sack here or there. But let's be honest. He was a core of their defensive unit up in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Cam Jordan on one side and, you know, Davis on the other side doing their thing. But he's been consistent for them this season. Now, with all that being said, you never want to lose a good player that he has brought to the table this season. But let's be honest. They brought in some other guys, too, that's played very well for them up front. And let's hope these guys can step up. And you don't want to see a guy with an Achilles because this is a problem you have, Gus.
This is now an injury for next season.
Yes. He will not. If he comes back middle of next season.
That's a great accomplishment.
Yes.
Because Alex Okafor, you know, it wasn't in the postseason.
No.
So, and, you know, he got back in time for the start of the year, but we're January.
It's a little different too. If you're a guy that's 350 pounds and a guy that's 270, 260,
I mean,
big difference.
His
entire
yes, I mean, every snap is,
and he's down, and he's got to push off of it. Not where you're standing up a little bit. And let's hope he can come back.
You were right. 8 sacks is what he had, and I believe that is, and indeed, the second most on the Saints team, next to Cam Jordan, who has 12. Demario Davis is next with 5. couple of players. David Onyemata, 4.5. Alex Okafor, 4. Davenport has a quiet 4.5, I guess, when you think about it. Like, if I would have told you who has more sacks, him or Alex Okafor, right? So, but regardless, those guys get a chance
they
to step up.
Step up.
Look, David Onyemata had a very good run here.
I like
him. And now you have it. And plus, here's the other thing. You do lose some depth into there, but at the same time, look, Onyemata has been playing pretty well on there. And look, I know that, you know, he's been right next to it with Tyler Davis. So, I mean, you have some players there that can do it. But again, he's a guy that had 8 sacks this year that we no longer have.
Let's hope they use a combination at the defensive tackle. They rotate them just right where we'll get something for them. But I thought they played well when he went out with the injury. I made a comment too. The Eagles offensive lineman was the same injury. It was just a fluke injury. It doesn't take much, boy, when you're stepping back.
You had two Achilles go down yesterday.
Yes,
and one
of
the
game,
Eagles players as well.
Wow.
So what stood out to you in that first game?
Well, here's something in the break I jotted down some info. Your score was 45-35.
Mm-hmm.
It was played November 4th.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Eagles played the Saints, you know, a couple of weeks back. This is 2.5 months
Rams
ago.
You mean, right.
Mm-hmm. So I look at it. Goff was 28 of 40, 391, 3 touchdowns and INT, 0 sacks. Gurley was 13, 68 yards rushing, 13 carries, 1 touchdown. Drew Brees, 25 of 36, 346, 4 touchdowns. Kamara, 19 carries, 82 yards, 2 touchdowns. They pretty much washed each other out, really, these guys here. What stood out for me was basically how the Saints made plays at the opportune time to help their offense or help their team out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll need in this. I was shocked at the fact that they talked about the Rams and all these players they brought over, how they're going to have a great defense. And they gave up 45
They picked
points.
Somebody up the week before that game, right?
Oh, yeah, Flowers.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. 76 combined passes, right? 40 for Goff, as you said, 36 for Brees. No sacks.
Because
the Saints didn't give up a sack against that D-line here as well. It is pretty incredible when you think about it. I know Derek just sent me a text saying no Cooper Kupp this time. You know, and he was a big guy in that game, really just kind of making some plays. Cooper Kupp, 5 receptions, 89 yards. They don't have that. C.J. Anderson, look, here's the thing that's interesting. They rushed for 273 yards this past weekend against Dallas. 123 by Anderson and 23 carries. Todd Gurley, 115 on 16 carries. You can sit here and say this, though. It was only an 8-point game.
Right. Yeah, that's what shocked me, because when people saying, well, you know, the game wasn't really that close. I was like, it was kind of close. They only won by 8.
They had 3 points in the first quarter,
right.
17 in the second, 3 in the third, and 7 in the fourth, the Rams.
There's something about the Rams. People can say all they want to, but Goff is not lighting it up, and he doesn't scare me.
Only 15 completions.
When Kupp went out with his injuries, I don't believe he's throwing a touchdown. He might have, but he hasn't played up to par that they thought he would be. And they kind of converted a little bit more to the running game. But Gurley was hurt, and that's why they had to bring in Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
So now they got, you know, both them guys back there. And that's going to help the Saints, because they would prefer to stop a running attack and let them air it out.
186 yards passing is what the Rams had in that game. Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott, 20 carries, 47 yards. Dak Prescott rushed twice for 3 yards. So it's incredible. We're looking at a game in which there were 76 pass attempts in the first meeting. Yet we're both, I think, kind of would probably say a key this week is whose run game can kind of get going as for a key on Sunday. Would you say the team that runs the football best wins on Sunday?
You know,
incredibly?
I didn't see much happening with Ingram in the first time they played him. I don't even think he played, if I'm not mistaken. Was he able to play? I think he was. But
he played 9 carries, 33 yards.
Nothing. Okay.
But Kamara had 19
Kamara
for 82.
I'm thinking you're going to see definitely Saints try to come out and attack him with the running attack, slow the game down, because that keeps the offense for the Rams off the field if you can run the football. I think the Saints run the ball well in this game, because the Rams just showing me right now their defense is still, you know, still struggling.
At John_4K is the way to follow him. And all his number of surgeries. You're up at 20 now, right?
I'm at 20.
You're at 20. Be careful. And
I'm trying, man. This is like nothing happening new. It's his old stuff.
I hear you. Thanks for spending the first hour with us,
Anytime.
Man. I know you wanted to give your takes and take a look at the game. We'll chat with you later on in the week as well, man, as we get closer to the game on Sunday. Thank you so much, bud. Appreciate it.
All right, Joey. All right, Jordan.
And me.
Hey, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Jason. Right, peace. Well, no, I'm kidding. We're having fun.
Well, I got to talk about the main guys. Joey back at the station. Jordy right here. And okay, Gus. All right, Gus.
I'm having fun.
Let me write you a check, Gus.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so check this out. Hours 2 and 3, mainly your calls, your tweets, and a ton of sound from the locker rooms of both teams that played yesterday. I want to get your takes and all the other games as well. It's the Sports Hangover. Gus Katengill, you're listening to ESPN New Orleans.